Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us on the line, as he does each and every Wednesday at this time, is the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Terry Francona. Hey, Terry.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. How are you?
Good, thank you.
And looking forward to our talk with Terry Francona as well. He probably got on the line. I'm talking about Steve Pagliuca.
Yeah, I heard that, Michael.
And he's thinking, what am I, chopped liver? No, we're
I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure who you're talking about, but it hurt my feelings.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about some starting pitching performances you've had here over the last week or so. What does it mean for you when a kid like Cason Gabbard comes in and throws the way he did on Sunday, when Julian Tavares gives you two wins against the Yankees already this year? What does it mean to your entire staff when that happens?
Well, I hope it came across the way I meant it. The day that Gabbard gave us, I tried to term it and tell the media that it was kind of an organizational win, and I really believe that. I think there's some people, again, Gabby really did a good job, but there's some people that are, Griff and AAA and RJ and Mike Hazen and those guys that prepare these guys and help them, with their maturity and preparing them to handle even a one-start deal, which is, it's hard enough pitching the big leagues. When you think you're coming for one and going back, it makes it even harder. And so I was really pleased and tried to make sure that everybody knew that because, again, that, the Red Sox got a win, but I thought it was a good day for the organization.
As for Tavares, Dale mentioned him. I'm wondering what it's like for you to manage him because he came to Boston with a reputation and a lot of things. They weren't so positive about Julian Tavares. Just tell us about what it's like to deal with him on a day-to-day basis.
He's a great kid. I mean, he's got a big heart. I saw the things that that happened before he came here, and I don't think I think we need to be responsible enough to know about what's going on or what's happened, but I don't think we want to hold it against people. And sometimes you look a little farther, a little deeper, you can find that there's, maybe some coincidences or maybe guys made mistakes. But that doesn't necessarily mean they have to make them here. And we try to treat people, like they deserve. And he deserves to be treated like a pro. I mean, since he's been here, we've talked about it a lot. He takes the ball when you're not supposed to and saves other people. And we appreciate that. And we let him know that. I think he enjoys being here, and I know we like having him here.
Tito, he views his situation as holding the job for John Lester. How do you view the number five starter, for lack of a better phrase?
Well, we all think John Lester, we think the world of John. We all also know the history. He's got starts lined up in AAA. I think June 10th is the day, again, this is again if everything goes according to plan, where he would get out to about 100 pitches. So that's a good thing to shoot for, because once he gets to 100, then I think you can start looking at, okay, when's he ready to help us? Let his pitching dictate when he can help our major league club. But I kind of hate to say that Julian's holding anybody's job. I think he's holding his own job, and again, whatever role he's in, he's going to help us win games. And he's smart enough to know that, and he appreciates it, and it's really beneficial to us, because having a guy that will do a few different things is really, really helpful.
Looking at the back end of your bullpen last night, you had the opportunity to pitch both Okajima and Papelbon. I kind of sensed maybe they weren't as sharp as I've seen them in the past. Did you agree with that or not?
Yeah, definitely. Okie, he looked like he was, again, I know he had a scoreless streak going. It looked like he was pitching to that streak a little bit, which is human nature. I mean, you're not going to go all year without giving up a run. I thought he started trying to pick a little bit, and then he didn't have a good feel for his split or change up, and he threw it in the dirt a couple times. But saying that, he got out of it with one, and, again, that's a pretty dangerous lineup. Pap came in and I thought had some of the best velocity and crispness that he's had in a while, but he just was up and away with some pitches, or he jerked a couple down and in. He just wasn't, his control wasn't right what it needs to be. We actually, as a staff last night, we walked a lot of people. we just end up making some pitches when we had to, or we might still be playing. I mean, Tavares got Posada to roll over into a double play at a point in the game when we really needed something like that to happen.
In Papelbon's case, at one point he was up to 18 pitches and hadn't gotten you an out yet. And I know you're not going to get into specifics, nor would I expect you to, but you also got to be thinking pitch counts for even a guy like that in that situation.
Yeah, I was actually thinking right along with you there. I looked up at 16 pitches. I remember going, oh, I can't say it. You know, it's, you know, you obviously your first concern is let's win this game, but you're looking at a 30, 35 pitch night and, you know, just wearing him out. And, yeah, we do concern ourselves with that. But he rebounded and did well, and that's good. But I was thinking along the same lines as you.
Tino, we were trying to guess along with you the other day. Eric Hinsky has great numbers against, Wong.
Wong.
Yeah, great numbers
sure
against
does.
Wong.
10 for 19.
Yeah, we were saying, okay, does Eric Hinsky play tonight? He didn't play. What went into your decision?
Yeah, well, that was, you know, because of the doubleheaders, I certainly keep track of things like that. But he had played, I think, 3 out of the last 4. He played 2 at first base, 1 in right field. And we had, you know, the day off and then doubleheader, and I'd rested Lowell Sunday. So sometimes the schedule gets the best of you. Getting his bat in there is always a good thing, especially against a guy like that. But I don't think you just take out your regulars, especially against the Yankees. You know, it just didn't work out schedule-wise. We were kind of looking at it on the plane coming over and kind of chuckling about it because that's always a game we'd like to get Hinsky in. It just didn't fit.
I remember the classic moment when you called me out on the radio and asked me who I would use in a game against Seattle. So I say that to say this.
I do remember that.
I know
that.
You remember that. You're probably
about 10 years ago.
Yeah, you probably get excited about that moment. But I know, I don't know the technical stuff, some of the things that are going on in the game, but it seems to me that J.D. Drew is really struggling hitting off-speed pitches. What would you say his problem is right now?
Well, I actually think you've got a pretty good idea on that one. He's, you know, all spring training, and we raved about it so much, how he stayed through the ball. You know, J.D. has such good hitter's hands. He has the ability to go out and hook a ball, but he also, when they throw him something slow or something sinking down and away, he would stay through it, and he would drive that ball to left center, as he did in spring training in the first week of the season. And then he kind of got into a little bit of a funk, and it's really kind of multiplied on him. But if you notice, they're throwing him a lot of slow stuff, and he's just having a tough time keeping his weight back. And you're seeing some lazy pop-ups or some little rollover ground balls to second, which is exactly what the pitchers want you to do. And then he's getting a fastball, and he's missing it. And that's so often what happens. You'll see here, and hopefully it'll be in the real near future, he'll get a hold of a fastball, or he'll stay back on something slow, and it'll click. But right now, boy, it's a struggle for him. And you can see it, you know, it's wearing on him. In fact, we're going to let Willie Moe play right tonight just to give him, he can go down and take it, you know, a nice afternoon with Mags down in the cage and kind of clear his head, because I know it's wearing on him a little bit.
We had an emailer earlier who asked about whether you would consider putting, I mean, you got two guys who are just white hot and Lowell and Euculus into the 5 spot, but are you more concerned with keeping that left-right batting order going?
There's a few things that we want to have as many base runners on base when David and Manny come up, and for me, Euculus is probably the best in the game right now. So I don't want to, and the other thing is when we don't play JD, we've been pretty consistent about putting Uke in that slot to keep Lowell and Veritek right where they are. I agree with you, they're doing a great job, and we talk about lengthening out the batting order. I really want to keep them where they are. I think that's one of our strengths, and you start messing around with lineups and changing guys, and you know, some guys are creatures of habit, and we just want to kind of stay where we are.
I think based on our conversations, you're old school enough to appreciate good hard-nosed baseball. Is what Alex Rodriguez did in the 8th inning hard-nosed baseball?
You know, I'm going to tell you the truth. I didn't see it. Somebody walked in front of me. I think it was Shill, so I missed the whole left side of the infield. I didn't see the turn. And somebody asked me last night after the game, and I really was taken by surprise by that because I didn't see the turn. I heard some guys mumbling about it, but that's really about the extent of it.
When you get a chance to see it on video, I'll be curious to see what you think about it.
You know what? I actually will do that because I've been asked enough where I probably better go look just so I can have it at 4 o'clock today when the media comes, which I know this will be a shocker, but it'll be asked 15 times. So I better go take a look.
But, guys, and we had some callers talking earlier about retaliation. The guys usually retaliate for things that happen at the plate. Is it normal to retaliate for something in the base paths?
Well, what it is, what worries me is I actually woke up this morning, had the TV on, and I heard somebody on TV talking about exactly what you're saying. And for me, that's media getting involved in the game and being part of it that they don't need to be. The players play the game. And I think the media makes more out of things that don't necessarily bother us very much. Or if they do, they go away. It's just part of the game. Again, I haven't seen this, I just think that sometimes the media makes more than there is out of things. And again, I think I'm just going to stick to that.
Josh Beckett is eligible to come off the DL for you on Tuesday. Based on how things are going right now, does that look like a viable option for you?
You know what? Not only viable, I think it's pretty much virtually a lock. I mean, the roster moves we made and things like that, he's lined up for the 29th, which, like you said, is when we come home. That's pretty much, yeah, we knew he was going to be okay. We wouldn't have done what we did. We manipulated the roster a little bit with Gabbard and Hanczak and then brought Del Carmen up to give us some bullpen help. So, no, he's going to throw a five-inning, not a simulated game, but five simulated innings in the bullpen today. He threw without the Band-Aid yesterday. The ball's coming out of his hand. This may end up being a blessing in disguise. You know, you have the ability to give somebody a little bit of a window sometimes. Not that he needed it, but the ball's coming out of his hand like, oh, man, like a missile.
You know, Tito, since Joe Torre has been in New York since 1996, he and his team, they've never trailed an opponent by double digits during the season until now. Do you sense anything different with it? I'm talking about the atmosphere because there's a lot of negativity in the media. Do you sense that hovering over this team as you play them?
No, I've sensed the media stuff. You're always sensing something. No, you know what? It's kind of a fine line. I mean, they're not clicking on all cylinders yet, and hopefully it won't be tonight. So, you know, if guys, I don't know that, you know, again, I just know how we feel when you're struggling a little bit. If you're kind of partying in the clubhouse, people are taking shots that you don't care. If you're showing some remorse for a loss, people are saying you're tight. The best way to do it is you got to win. Then you know, everybody's lovey-dovey and everybody says the clubhouse is good. So, you know, there's half the people are going to say the guys are too tight. Half the people are going to say the guys don't care. You just need to win.
We've talked with you and we've talked with John Farrell about the difficulty of working with a knuckleballer. And I know many pitchers say, you know, I don't have any control once the ball leaves my hand. But in his case, that's really true. When he's had a couple of outings in a row where he's off his stuff a little bit, how can you help him get back?
Well, I'm not sure he was so much off his stuff. I mean, again, I think over the course of a season, regardless of how good you're throwing, there are some nights when you're going to get hit a little bit. I mean, just probably don't go through the year with a 1-something ERA. It's hard to do. You know, I go back to two starts. He only gave up runs, I think, in the one inning. You know, he had the four spot where he gave up a 3-run homer to Ordóñez. And then, you know, we gave up an inherited runner of his later in the seventh. And then, you know, the other night, we left him in because we have a lot of confidence in him. He gave up the double to Cano, which cost us two runs. So it ends up being six instead of four. So, again, sometimes I think the lines can be a little skewed. But, you know, we're pretty pleased with the way Wake's throwing. He came out of the bullpen, and John said that's probably the best knuckleball he's had all year. So sometimes he gets to a point where, you know, if he's not finding the strike zone, he's got to kind of throttle back a little bit. And, you know, then you get caught in between, okay, do I throw a fastball and somebody, you know, when he throws a fastball and people don't hit it, everybody's like, oh, that's the greatest thing in the world. When they hit it, you know, everybody second guesses. So it's kind of like the winning and losing. You just got to get people out.
I remember last year when you guys traded David Riske for Javier Lopez, I thought, why'd they do that? Doesn't really accomplish anything. But what role has, in your opinion, what role does Lopez bring to your team now?
Well, Michael, and it's a little bit more advanced than that. Having Javi as a young situational lefty is, when we first got him, I don't want to say it's risky, but, well, you know, it is, because he was young, and the White Sox, they had lost maybe a little confidence in him. I don't know. I shouldn't speak for them. But, you know, when he would get ahead in the count, he was very good. When he would not get ahead in the count, he'd get a little tentative. And I think the early success he's had, even in spring training, and even when we had to send him down, he still understood. We thought he was a pretty good major league pitcher. But now added to that, with him being the third left-hander on our staff, we have the ability to use him anytime we want, which is, from where I sit, a huge advantage. Being able to bring a guy in the sixth inning, a situational guy, where teams don't necessarily want to pinch hit yet, is a huge advantage. We can get him up and know if we don't get him in the game, it's not the end of the world because we got two other lefties down there. It has been a huge addition to our staff.
It's been kind of a work in progress with Daisuke adjusting his between starts routine and adjusting to a lot of different things. Whatever it is he's been doing, tell him to lock this in because it's going pretty good right now.
Yeah, well, I think bottom line is he's a pretty good pitcher. He just, you know, like JD right now, he went through some struggles. It happens. They're people and they have issues and, you know, their nose runs sometimes. And, you know, I mean, it just doesn't always work out perfect. But, boy, I'll tell you what, he reeled it back in and it's been pretty good. And I think this is more of the pitcher you'll see more often than the other one.
You know, Tito, we're a little slow here on the Dale and Holly show. I think we just caught
a lot slow.
Yeah, I think we just caught the shot you took at Schilling. He walked in front of you and
blocked out
and
the
you
whole
missed
left
the
side
entire
of the infield.
I love Schill to death, and I have so much fun at his expense, even during games. And you know, if he's standing in front of me, sometimes I'll say, "God, Schill, can you move down?" You know, and he'll look at me. I'll go like two blocks, and he gives me that look like, you know, I've really had it with you. But no, it's all in fun.
He's the kind of guy who wants to rebound, you know, no matter what the situation is. I got a feeling he's going to have a little more juice going tonight than normal.
I'm with you on that. I think his focus will be unbelievable. That won't guarantee a win because this is going to be a good matchup. This is two pros that know how to do it. But Schill will be focused and ready to go, and it'll be a fun game to be a part of.
Terry, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys, take care.
All right,
take care.
See you.
That is Red Sox skipper Terry Francona joining us from his office at Yankee Stadium.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.